Let's turn to, in our Bibles, to the book of Psalms, chapter 103. Psalms 103. Remember what God has done. We're told in Scripture, throughout Scripture, remember. How many times did God tell Israel, remember how I led you out of Egypt? Many times. So God wants us to remember what He's done for us, and He's done tremendous things for us. And so Psalms chapter 103, let's notice the word of God together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known to his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word today. I pray your blessings to be upon the ministry of the word of God. Talk to the heart and soul of every person here. And I know, Lord, that you're interested in every person. And I pray, Lord, that you would just communicate, Lord, by your spirit, whatever people need to hear today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember what God has done. It's been a number of years now, but I remember it at the airport in Dallas, Love Field. It's a bigger one now, but as I was about 10 years old, I waved goodbye to my brother who was headed to Vietnam. And it's very difficult as me and my parents stood there and my sister and waved goodbye, not knowing if we would ever see him again. He was going to the Vietnam War. And so we prayed, put him in God's hands, prayed for him every day. And my mother, every day that he was there, he was like a year in Vietnam. She wrote him every day. And sometimes he'd get the mail every day in Vietnam. He would get three or four letters in one day, sometime later. But God spared my brother Dennis. He's a Vietnam veteran, and so he's still alive today. He's leading worship in at church in Digleon today. But I remember just before he's telling me, just before his last day on the field, he was in infantry, and so they set up ambushes, and they encountered ambushes from the enemy. It's a miracle he's alive. But the last day he was in the field, a man behind him, and he was a leader, but a man behind him grabbed him by the shoulders and pulled him back to the ground. And my brother said, "What are you doing?" He said, "There's a tripwire right in front of you. You almost hit it. If it hit the trip wire, it would cause an explosion and probably would have killed him." But God, I remember what God has done. Surely he does. That God spared him, and I'm not saying that in any way, taking away from people who have paid the ultimate debt for our freedom here today, that have given their lives and didn't come back alive. Thank God for all veterans and people that fought in wars, and amen, and thank God for it. But yet, that's something that I have to remember. That's what God had done. And my brother came home, and we got together, picked him up at night at Love Field, lost our way home to Digleon, but enjoyed all of it anyway. But remember what God has done, not only in the natural world, but spiritually what God has done for you. How can we forget? And the word here, bless the Lord, O my soul. And Nancy or Bill could correct me here, but the Greek word is Barak. Barak reminds me of a president. I don't know if I pronounced it right or not. But to blaspheme is to kneel, to act an act of adoration to God, complete worship in recognition of God from whom comes every good and perfect gift. And so when David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," he's saying, "Everything that's within me, I want to give honor and respect and worship to my God." And he says, "Forget not all of his benefits." You know, you go to apply for a job somewhere, you want to know, you know, what kind of hours are we going to work? And by the way, at the end, what do you pay? And we want to know if there's any benefits, you know. And so I figured out something with, I'm not saying this to lift myself up in any way, but people ask you when you interview for a job, you know, what do you do on Friday night? And people do things on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night that they're not able to show up for work on Monday. And I said, "Well, that's not me. I don't drink." So, but anyway, we want to know the benefits we're going to have. But I want to tell you something. There's some tremendous benefits to serving God. Praise the Lord. It's just that we love God, and God has given us so many things. Every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. If it come from God, it's good. And God gives good things. Amen. And God says, "Here's some of the benefits I'm going to give you." He said, "I'm going to forgive all your iniquities. I'm going to heal all your sicknesses. I'm going to satisfy your mouth with good things." God's got some great benefits to serving Him. I'd love to serve God, live for God. The alternative to not serving God is to end up in hell forever. We don't want to go there. We want to go to heaven. And God has made it, and God wishes you to spend His eternity with Him. That's the love of God. Praise the Lord. First of all, let's look at one of the benefits is He forgives all of your iniquities. And the Scripture says, "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him." I just read it to you. "As far as the east is to the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us." That tells us something, that God does not hold grudges. He didn't say, "You remember that sin you committed 5 years ago?" I don't think God does that. If He needs to call it up, He can, because He don't forget anything. But He doesn't hold our sins against us anymore once we've repented and turned to God and asked for forgiveness. Amen. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. If God says you're free, your iniquities are gone, the guilt and the shame for your sins is gone. If God says it's gone, then it's gone. Praise the Lord. In Psalms 103 and 3, it says, "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared." Thank God for forgiveness. And God knows our heart, and God looks upon our heart, and God is concerned about us. Praise the Lord. I want to bring a scripture to you here in Luke chapter 18. Verse 11. And this is a story of a publican and a Pharisee, not a Republican, but a tax collector. Might have been a Democrat, I don't know. But anyway, this is a story of a publican, tax collector, and a Pharisee. And these two came to the temple to pray. And they had a time of prayer every morning and every evening at the temple. Amen. In Luke 18 and 11, it says, two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And I'll just tell you here, tax collectors were Jewish people who collected tax for the Roman government. They were not liked people. They were abhorred. And so the Pharisees considered the tax collectors the worst of sinners. But the Pharisee prayed thus with himself, and the Pharisee says, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Then he starts to tell God how great he is. He says, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And so that's where it ends. And he says, surely, God, you're happy with a good guy like me. That's not the scripture. That's my translation. But the tax collector, he came to pray as well. And standing afar off, he would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Which one of those you think left forgiven? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, not guilty, rather than the other. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And God is not impressed by how religious we may think we are, or we may define religion. Religion is simply man's search for God. The world is full of religions, but only one way to God, and that is through Christ. But I'm thinking today, is anybody here you need to pray that same prayer today? God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. May I have a wrong, I've done something wrong. God, you're convicting me. You're making me know in my heart that there's something there that needs to be dealt with, and you're willing and lovingly and caringly want to forgive me. And God does. But anyway, we need to understand that one of the benefits of serving God, we can have forgiveness and deliverance from sins. There's people maybe in this building now, you've lived with years over something you did in time past, and the devil keeps bringing it up and says, you're guilty of this, you're guilty of that, and you're going to be guilty forever. But God says, you're forgiven. Amen. As far as the east is to the west, so far he has removed your transgressions from you. You can't get any further away from it than that. God has cast your sins to the depths of the sea. He remembers them against you no more. You're forgiven. You belong to God. You're a child of God. You're on your way to heaven. Amen. My friend, this path is straight and narrow, but God gives you the grace and gives you the strength to keep on walking, keep on moving on. The best is yet ahead for you. Praise the Lord. So remember what God has done when he forgave you. And let's remember what God has done who heals all your diseases. And some people will say, well, that day of healing and miracles was over when the apostles passed away. Wrong. If you're born again and on your way to heaven, you're a miracle of God. Born again, no longer following the ways of sin, no longer in pursuit of a sinful life, but in pursuit of God, you're a miracle. And it comes to physical healing, and we think of healing as all physical, but it's not just physical. There's emotional healing needs to be done. There is all kinds of things that need to be done. The question comes to mind, why are some healed and some not healed? Let me tell you, we're headed for an eternity where there was neither death, nor sorrow, nor sickness, nor pain. Amen. No funerals, no cancer wards, no hospitals, nothing. We're headed for a place where God dwells forever, and there won't be anything there but righteousness, holiness, and truth, and perfect health. I don't have the answers to everything. Some healed and some not. I don't know. I came from you've heard me say it many times. Bear with me again. When I almost died right where I'm at right now. But I wasn't preaching. I fell out of the top of the church here and suffered traumatic brain injury and should have been dead. Didn't think I'd make it through the night. Not just me. I didn't know whether I'd make it or not. I was in a coma for 11 days. But God healed me. I'm a miracle of divine healing, not because I'm a great person. No, just because God had mercy on me and wasn't through with me yet. And many of you can testify of a miracle of God in your life because God wasn't through with you yet. And God still got you here for a purpose. Amen. If God wants to take me on today, that's fine with me. And God wants to take you on today, that's fine. Amen. But God, while we're here, God has a plan, has a purpose for us being here. He wants your light to shine before men. He wants your testimony to be there, so others can know that there's hope for them as well. And so, who heals all your diseases? Sin's diseases. Some sin causes sickness and disease. Because sin is like a disease that slowly eats away at a person until it consumes a person and they die lost. You don't want to die lost. Some people are spiritually sick today. There are people, some of you may have been abused and mistreated, things you can't help. There's people that are human trafficked and they have no choice, but as a very young person put into sex slavery. And you say, well, they're sinning. Yes, maybe they're sinning, but I'm going to tell you, they're being sinned against more than they're sinning, because they're forced to be slaves to a carnal mind that has them captive, carnal person that has them captive. There's things we cannot help, and God understands all that. Let me tell you something, friend. Don't drown in guilt. Let God heal that hurt. He loves, He cares, He forgives, He heals, He binds up, He puts your life back together. Jesus prayed for those who crucified Him. How could Jesus pray for those who are driving spikes into His wrist to hold Him to a cross? It's because the love of God goes far greater than our love goes. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, even for those. And God's love. God is able to heal people of things that have happened years ago. Amen. That shouldn't have happened to you. And God can heal you. God can set you free. Maybe it's family trouble. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's all kinds of problems here, there, or the other. It doesn't matter to God. God heals. Amen. I've heard many pastors say, well, I'm just going to want to try to find a better church somewhere. I'm going to resign here. I've done my work here, and the people are not responding anymore. I'm just going to find me a different church. You can tell that's not the way I took it, is it? 31 years here. It's because y'all are so good. But you see, people got the same problems wherever you go. There's going to be sickness wherever you go. Any church, any place, there's going to be people that need to get prayed through and get right with God. There's people that need to be healed. There's people that are sick mentally and emotionally and spiritually, and they need God's healing. And I can tell you, we serve a God who's true and real and mighty and faithful, and He's done so much. Amen. Let us not forget, but let us remember what God has done. So He heals all your diseases, now and eternally. It hurts me to see people where that they've let sin slowly eat away at their lives until they have nothing left, and they really don't call on God at the end of their lives. Demonic influences are strong today, and demonic influences are eating away at our youth and our young people. Colleges, seminaries, universities, many places where they're taught evil things and things that are so against nature that you wonder how anybody could believe such a thing, but they do. And so there's things that are eating away at the spiritual life of people in our nation today, but my friend, God needs you and I to be prayer warriors. To seek the face of God, because God can answer. God does answer prayer. God's not up against something He can't handle. God's never been up against something where He didn't know what to do. He knows exactly what to do. So let's pray. Let's be people that seek the face of God for the spiritual renewal of our nation, for the repentance of our nation. Praise God. You can find anything you want today. Hopefully you don't want anything sinful, but if you want something sinful, you can find it on the internet. There's some good things on there too, but there's some things that are evil on there. Let me just tell you this. Don't let your kid play with the internet and you have no restrictions on them. You know, get 13 or 14, you know what they're going to look up. Probably pornography. Other things. You can even get instructions over how to kill your parents. You can get instructions how to get by with murder and not get caught. All kinds of things come out of that filthy thing. That's not the will of God for you to feed on those kind of things, because if that's what you feed on, that's what you're going to be full of. Amen. My friend, feed on the truth. Feed on the Word of God. Don't feed on the lies of the devil. Feed on the truth of God's Word, and God will give you the right things to say. God will give you the right places to go, the right people to talk to. Amen. And God will clean up your language and clean up what you listen to and look at. It's called sanctification, separation from evil and devotion to God. It's what we must have. So God heals all of our diseases. And it says here that God also redeems our life from destruction. There are things that can destroy you physically, yes. Hopefully God has given you enough sense not to jump off a cliff. Everybody's got common sense. It's just up to you to use it.
But the destruction of your spiritual life,
destruction of your testimony, of your hope and your confidence is God. That's what is going to you're going to battle against. But God redeems our life from destruction. God saved us, not so we could just get happy and go to heaven and have a meal like we're going to have in a few minutes. But God saves us so our light can shine. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do they light a candle and put it under a basket, but put it on a lampstand so it gives light to all who are in the house. And so God loves you. God cares for you. And God redeems you, and God has kept you alive and serving Him and walking with Him today because He still has purpose and plan for you. And you say, well, what about people that are sick and mentally ill and they're terminally ill? Man. Talked to a person one time, and he said he went to the doctor, and he had cancer, and he said the doctor looked at him and said, "Sir, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you're terminal." He looked back at the doctor and said, "Doctor, you also are terminal." Made the doctor mad, but it was true. We're all going to face this one day. But God redeems our life from destruction. God does not want your testimony to be destroyed. He doesn't want your hope to be destroyed. He doesn't want your confidence to be destroyed. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." My friend, life is what God gives. He gives eternal life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the bread of the life. Amen. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He said, "I am He who lives and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death." Revelation 1:18. Praise God. He redeems your life from destruction. We must believe God's word. God redeems us, purchases us from death and destruction. The word redeem there means to purchase. From death and destruction. Doesn't mean you're not going to die someday. You will die physically. But you won't die spiritually if you're born again, if God's Spirit dwells in you. Praise the Lord. In the book of 1 Peter says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of His own." King James says, "a peculiar people." I've seen some of those. "That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you from darkness into His marvelous light." So God saved us that we might be a light that shines, called us out of darkness, called us out of sin, called us out of hell, called us out of destruction, called us into life. Amen. Jesus said, "I will give you life and give you more abundantly." Hallelujah. And so we can have life in Him. Praise the Lord. Who satisfies, who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies. In our text here in Psalms 103, notice verse 8. And this says something of the character of God. The Lord is merciful. Believe that. And gracious. I'm glad He's gracious. You say, "I don't need grace." Yes, you do. You're not saved if you don't have grace. Amen. I knew some thought they had more grace than needed, but no. The Lord is merciful. The Lord is gracious. How about this one? He's slow to anger. I've had to work on that one a lot. I'm still working on it. Man. He's abounding in mercy. He says in the same verse, merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. Man. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. Aren't you glad of that? Had you ever had your parents when you was young? I can say when I was young now. I'm not anymore. Say, "You do that one more time and you're in for it when I get you home." And I knew what was going to happen. I didn't want to go home. Man. But God is slow to anger. He will not keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins nor punished us according to our iniquities. God didn't give us what we deserve. God gave us love. God gave us grace. God gave us hope. God gave us peace. God gave us forgiveness. and redemption. He purchased us out of sin and brought us into his marvelous light. Okay. Last of all, he satisfies your mouth with good things. Oh, I'm sure the prosperity preachers would go hog wild over that verse. But he's not talking necessarily about material things. Satisfies your mouth with good things. Good health. Good works. Good words to say to other people who are used to having bad words say to them. Good words of encouragement for one another. God wants you to be an encourager. Amen. In the book of Acts, there's a man there, his name means son of encouragement, Barnabas. And that's what he did. He encouraged people everywhere he went. You can discourage people real easy. But we can encourage people, say, brother, I'm praying for you today. I feel like you're going through something, but I'm praying for you right now. Share it with me if you want to. If you don't want to, I'll just pray and God's got this. Amen. So let's be somebody that God can use. God wants to use you powerfully. So God satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. We surely want that last part of that verse, don't we? And God's work in us is good. If you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. Not me, but Philippians 1:6, where God says to you, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will see it to completion till the day of Jesus Christ. If you're saved and on your way to heaven today, God has done the good work in you. And somewhere along the line, when you're having a hard time and a difficulty, you say, well, you know, I'm not sure that God is with me right now, but let me see. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you. Praise God. And he said that he would, what he has begun in you, he will see it to completion. We begin a lot of things that we don't see to completion. The government begins a lot of things they don't ever complete. I'm not going to go there. We'd be here all day. But you started things in your home, and the wives know it, but you didn't finish it. Every little bit, you didn't do this. You didn't finish this out here. You need to finish that. Oh, yeah, I'll get to it tomorrow. But what God has begun in you, it's not a question of whether or not he's going to finish it. He says, I'm going to finish it. He has begun a good work. He saved you, filled with your Holy Spirit. Amen. He carried you this far. Amen. Have you made it this far? Because God has helped you. And God is going to be confident that God will complete it until the day when Jesus comes. God intends for you to spend eternity with him. Hallelujah. And so we can be confident, certain, sure of this very thing, that what he started in you, he will complete it. Last of all, he renews your youth like the eagles. Reminds us of Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. One translation says they will soar on wings as eagles. Tell you something. God's going to satisfy your mouth with good things. I can't help but get off of this. I did a term paper on it in high school about eagles. And I made a C+. Minus the plus. But eagles are amazing animals, or birds. He'll make you soar on wings as eagles. Just picture yourself as having two wings. You don't have, so don't jump off a building. But when an eagle faces a storm, they usually make their nest high in the mountains or the cliffs. And so they spread their wings as the storm's coming in. They don't look away from the storm. They face it head on. As the winds begin to blow, their wings are stretched out, and the winds of the storm begin to lift them higher and higher and higher until they're above the clouds and they're above the storm. I want to tell you something, friend. If we look to Jesus, look to him, say, Lord, I can't do this alone, but I'm believing you to carry me. I'm believing you to uphold me. I'm believing you to walk with me. I'm believing you to help me, press me through this, so that I'll soar on wings as eagles, that I'll run and not be weary, and walk and not faint, not give up, not quit, not turn back. Amen. God, you brought me this far. You're going to bring me on. He, you've begun a good work in me. You're going to see it to completion. I'm staying with you, Lord. And I remember what you have done time and time again. And if the next problem comes up, you'll be there just as you are for this one. Remember what God has done. Hallelujah.